help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keeps his truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. We will sing Psalm 421, the stanzas 1, 421, the stanzas 1. O God of hosts, O God of grace, how lovely is thy holy place. And so on, this 421, the stanzas 1. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning is from God's holy and infallible word, Isaiah 55, the verse 1 through 13. Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 13. But first, we will listen to the holy law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briars shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
Let us seek God's face in prayer to ask opening for our hearts and for a blessing upon the preaching. O Lord, may we humble ourselves before Thee. Will Thou grant us that we may understand who we are before Thee who art holy. The prophet Isaiah said it, Holy, holy, holy art Thou, O Lord, and we have to confess Thee that we are unholy. O that a call of Thy altar may touch our lips, that we may speak unto Thee, that we may be unified in prayer also as congregation and as preacher, O Lord, that we may call upon Thy name to ask Thee grace for everyone. We have come, and Thou knowest how we came, what is in our hearts, what kind of desires are there. It can be that it is so impossible, that we know that we should be saved, but that all is dark, that we cannot find any opening. O Lord, that we must confess that we are so clinged to ourselves, to our sins and sinful ways, that we don't know how to come out. O may we pray Thee, wilt Thou grant Thy Holy Spirit that those hard hearts may be broken, and that they may come to Thee with a contrite spirit to beg Thee for mercy, because Thy Holy Spirit is also today there, not only 2,000 years ago, but Thou had promised that Thou will be till the end of the times there where Thy word might be preached, O Lord, that it also might be today, not only for those who don't know, but also for those who once have felt the power of Thy word. O wilt Thou grant them that they may grow in that faith that Thou art giving and working in Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be fruitful for that wherefore Thou art calling them, everyone at the place where Thou hast set us, and that the fruit of that may be the glorifying of Thy great name. We come to Thee for the whole congregation, O Lord, those who are suffering because of illness, or who are suffering because of handicaps. May we lift them up in prayer and ask Thee for Thy help, in the first place for their souls, that they might give their burden unto Thee in Thy hand, but also that they might be strengthened in the path where Thou art leading them, according to what they need. O Lord, may we pray for those who had losses in the past, shorter or longer ago. Wilt Thou fill that empty place with something of Thy nearness, and Thou knowest how also family member, a brother, has passed away. We think about Mr. Van den Brinke, where the funeral hoped to be tomorrow. O wilt Thou remember his wife, the children, their families, that also in this time, that also from this there might come a blessing, might work a blessing, because so many times Thou art using it to bring people to a standstill, to a moment that they realize also, I have to die, shorter or longer, before me, O Lord, that they may die before that death will come, to die of themselves, that at Thy time, that they may experience that Thou came to save lost sinners, who only can find death in themselves, who have to agree with everything what thou would do, because thy law is holy, O Lord, that is threatening, that is saying that when we don't keep thy word, thy commandments, that death will come and has come. And we know it since the fall that death came in. May we pray that the preaching may be used, that souls may be drawn out of the darkness and brought to that wonderful light that thou art. Because thy house is not yet full. Also now, today, O Lord, thy word is going out with that purpose, that souls might be touched and might be drawn out of that field of the war in which we all live. O Lord, will thou grant it that they may come under thy wings also today. Lead and guide us also in preaching, that thy Holy Spirit may lead and guide us, and that thy word may have that power what thou only art able to give. O Lord, that all things may work together for thy church for good, and that they might be blessed, that they might be strengthened in faith. We pray for Pastor Valdmond, his wife also in the Netherlands. Grant them what they need also, especially when he has to go out in so many places to preach thy word, that also there a blessing may be, that might be seen, that souls might come to conversion, might come to faith in thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the work of mission, evangelism. We think also about Malawi, about Suriname, where so many places thy word will be preached also today, already has been. O Lord, will thou bless it, that also there those souls not only know that they are black of color, but that they might see that they are black because of their sins. And that thou have come not only for white people, but that also the black people may be drawn from the darkness to that wonderful light, that thine name will be glorified also there, because there is no difference. We all are fallen in sin, that thy name will be glorified then. O Lord, we come to thee to ask thee for those students who have graduated or who are graduating, where many times decisions has to be taken how to go further. Lead them and guide them, that they may take those decisions that thou art approving, that they may wait for thy leading and guidance. This world is so full of temptations. O Lord, so easily we can make this the same choice as what once Lot did, that we are not looking for thee, but that we are looking for what this world can bring. Will thou lead and guide, protect them, that above all the most important question may be, what must I do, O Lord, how can I be saved? It is only by thee will thou reveal thyself also to them, and not only those who are graduating, but remember also all those other students, O Lord, especially in the coming time when they don't need to go to school or to study at home. Remember them in mercy, that the fear of thy name also may be in their hearts. So we come to thee to ask thee for all what is upon our souls. O Lord, remember the consistory. We think about the vacant place of deacon. May we lift it up unto thee and ask thee for that man, O Lord, what thou hast chosen, what need to be elected, that they also here may see that thou art the head of the church, and that they may experience it also in the outcome. So we come to thee in and with all things, and we ask it, not because of anything in us, but only because of thy name, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Congregation, the text for this morning, that is Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Then, with God's help, we will look to the way of conversion proclaimed to you. And then look in the first place to leaving the sinful ways and thoughts. Second, to returning to the Lord. And third, to mercy and pardon. There's the way of conversion proclaimed to you. Leaving the sinful ways and thoughts. Second, returning to the Lord. And three, mercy and pardon. But first we want to sing Psalter 365, the stanzas 1, 2, 3 and 4, there's all 131. From the depths my prayer ascendeth, of 365. And then 2, none can stand unscathed and blameless. 3, Lord, my hope is in thy promise. And 4, with the Lord is tender mercy. There's 365, all the stanzas. congregation, we are called to speak this morning about the way of conversion. It is the most important question for all of us. How is God converting people? It has to do with the question if we are saved or we are not saved, if we are in Christ or if we are outside of Christ. You all know when we die without Christ, we will be lost forever. Or when we are dying with Christ, then we are saved forever. That is a difference of life and death, of eternal blessing or eternal woe. And today we will speak what the Lord is speaking about this question, the way of conversion. Sometimes people think that those who are doing well here on earth, that they will be saved. And that can be in more clear or less clear ways. But that is not what the Lord Jesus himself said. When he was with Zacchaeus then, there he said in Luke 19 verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And that was at the moment that just Zacchaeus was called out of that tree. Zacchaeus, who could not boast of anything of him. He could only confess that he had done wrong in all things. And then he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And maybe you think, but that can be different from me who is going to church all the time. No, in one thing there is no difference. Because when the Holy Spirit starts to enlighten you, gives you eyes to see all things of your life, then you will understand that you are not better, that you are the same last sinner who need to be saved like Zacchaeus and other sinners. When I look back to the time that we were in Malawi, then we had an opportunity to preach to so many, but also in prison. We had four prisons around Samba where we came. And there we preached, and we had a little, you can say little congregations from 15 to 50 people, where we by turn came. And what we touched so many times, that there was more eagerness, not by all, but by relatively many, to hear that word. And in the beginning, when we came in one of them in Domasi, there one of them said, "Why can you not start a congregation here of the RPC, the Reformed Presbyterian Church?" And it was to Pastor Bander that he asked that. And he asked them, he said, "Why do you ask that?" And they said, "Well, you have preached grace. That we only can be saved by Jesus Christ." That they did not need to contribute anything for their own salvation. Humanly speaking, they all knew that they had messed up their lives with what they had done in the past. But especially in Malawi, and maybe it is everywhere, there was also at so many places that you had to do this or that, otherwise you could not be saved. That is what they had heard so many times. And now they heard the preaching that they could be saved by grace. Also here in Springford, we have a congregation and we gather to hear the word of God, the way of salvation. What a blessing that you have an opportunity, that there is a house of God where you are invited to come every time on Sunday in the week to hear that way of salvation. And the more that we will see that that is a way of salvation, the last that we will skip, because when you are seriously sick, and you have heard that there is a possibility in London in the hospital to be healed, do you skip that moment that the doctor is there, for example? You will not skip. You will be there because it has to do with your soul. And that is the house of God. That is the preaching. Because unexpectedly, the Lord can use that preaching, can address your souls, and that you come to see that you are nothing in yourself, that you are a big sinner in yourself. And then you may be brought in contact with that holy law. What can you say? Then there is no expectation from your side, but only from Jesus Christ. And that is the way of salvation, that He came for lost sinners, wherever we are, in Springfield or wherever that we come from. Because that is the only way of salvation. We will see through this text what the text says. Leaving sinful ways and sons. This in the past and still now we have heard many times what you need to hear in the preaching. Then they say, for example, what do we need in the preaching to hear? That is law and gospel. Here the text says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It is clear what we need. But how shall a man or a woman or a boy or a girl know what is sin? When we look at our nature in the way that we are born, then you can say we are spiritual dead. In Adam and Eve we have left God willfully and voluntarily in order never to return. That is what we did. And from that moment on, we were spiritual dead. And then from that moment on, we cannot hear, we cannot move. Then we are spiritually blind, deaf, lame. And when you look to that, how impossible that we have brought ourselves in, that we never can be saved by our own power. That is our situation. And that is at one hand terrible, but at the other hand is it also a blessing. Because when we could do anything ourselves, we would do it. But now it is impossible. And that is the opportunity for God to work out that salvation, the way of salvation, because when we cannot do, that is the opportunity for God to work out that salvation. That is what God has done, and we will see more. When we go back to eternity, God the Father gave His only begotten Son. The Son was willing to do that work Himself voluntarily and to go down to this earth. Can you imagine Jesus, who is God, that He was willing to leave God to come down that way of suffering, what already started in Bethlehem, but what went on till Golgotha, where He gave His life, where He was crucified, the death of curse, that was what He was willing to go. That path Jesus had done everything that was necessary so that those dead, unwilling sinners can be saved by grace. And then it is not only that He paid everything, that He did do everything, that those lost sinners can be saved. That was first. But then He also sent out His servants until today, that gospel law and gospel will be preached, that those who are dead in themselves, that they will be called, that they will be invited to come because Jesus is inviting them to come to him, and that all those who need to be converted, who are under that seal, that they will be drowned, and by cords of love of Jesus Christ. And so all the centuries through, God has drowned them from the darkness to that wonderful light. Therefore God had given the preaching. How is God working? And when you are pastor of a congregation, I always told the pastors in Malawi, you need to know your congregation, you need to know what is going on. Not only what are the blessings, but especially those sins, those bosom sins. Every congregation, every people has them, and the idols, what they serve, and so on. You need to know them, because that is God using when you may address it in and through the preaching, and that the Holy Spirit may make you a sinner, may enlighten you, that you start to see that you have sinned, not only in those commandments, but against all the commandments of God. And that you come to see that you are such a lost sinner. That is God using the preaching of law and gospel. And that is necessary, because the Lord makes room for his own work. And that it is not only the preaching of the law, but also the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus already himself said it, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come ye. Do you think that Jesus did not speak the truth? He said it. Come ye. How is it then? Because many will say, but how can I come when I am dead? How can I come when I am not willing in my nature, when there is no room for him? That's true. But the Lord is not only inviting, but he is also working by his Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit might work, might discover, might give you that light, that you might see what you need for time and eternity. Here in Isaiah 55, there the prophet says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let us first look to the wicked. It is someone who is guilty and earns a sentence to death. That is the wicked. The wicked man is someone who has done something wrong, who has turned himself against the Lord, who has fallen in sins and who is multiplying sins daily. This man, that wicked man, is spiritually dead from the fall on, and he has to die according to his body. And this man is called to leave his way of life. That is, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. What is that? When we speak about the thoughts of the unrighteous man, then you can say, in that way, then his sin is that he is thinking about the sins that he is going to do, the intention to sin. It is not only that he is falling in sin, that can happen many times, but when you are at home and you are thinking about this and that, I want to do a certain sinful act, then it is an unrighteous man his thoughts, that is included in that. When you have, for example, murder cases for the courts, then they always look, how did it happen? Was it by accident, or was it that it was a reaction when something strange was done to him? But or is it with, when I'm well, they call it premeditation. but that they have sit at home and have thought, I hate that man, I am going to kill him. Now that is an act by premeditation, and the judge will sentence that heavier as those other ways of sinning. Thus that is what here the prophet Isaiah is mentioning, that he is not only calling from the actual sins, what you are doing, but also from your plans to sin, from your premeditation in to do sin. And that must be rooted out completely. But does Isaiah not know that we are of the earth and dead in ourselves? That we do everything to remain out of the hands of the Lord? He knows that. But that is the reason that he is writing, and you can read it earlier. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The real conversion is not something what you have to make. That is a work of God. That is a work of the Lord, and by his Holy Spirit. And therefore he is using so many times the preaching, that that word may not only enter your ears, but that it also may enter your heart, in order to break that heart and to fill it with his love. Because when the preaching will be blessed in such a way that it is done with your heartness, that it is done with your willingly sinning against God, then there comes a desire to go his path, to love God, to love his word, and to go his path. Where can you find the Lord? That is especially in his house that the Lord has given to us, under the preaching, under the means of grace that he gave to us. And what a blessing when we are so used to it. But when you look to Canada, how many places today are they preaching the word of God according to the word of God? How many places? Many places. They hear nothing, or they don't want to hear anything. They don't know how people can be saved. And here you may hear it. Here you may hear the invitation that the Lord says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Are you doubting on the willingness of the Lord? Are you doubting that his invitation is not well-willing, is not true? His invitation is there, and you may plead upon that. O Lord, thou art inviting me. Will thou break all what the resistance, everything what is blocking that, take it away, and take me and bring me unto thee. Repentance to the Lord. Repentance, then we speak always about two things. Returning from sins, from sinful ways, but including, that is including about thinking about the sins that you want to do. But there is more. There is also, it is not only that you need to return and to stop, but there is also a question: what then with the sins of the past? Can you dig that yourself? No. Those sins need to be confessed, need to be forgiven, otherwise those sins will bring you to the eternal judgment. Thus it is not only repentance, there is not only returning from what is evil, but there must be more. There must also be that deep sorrow That your heart will be broken seeing about all the sins that you have done in your thinking and your doing. And when you look to the Apostle Paul, that when he was brought down on the way to Damascus, how he was not eating and drinking 3 days because of the way that he was humbling himself before the Lord, seeing all what he had done, although that the Lord had called him out of that darkness. We can see it so many times. When the Lord is working in someone, there will be a deep sorrow about all the sins that he have done. And then you can say, but when you have forgiven, then your sins are forgiven. That is true. In that way there is peace with God. But I have heard many times that they said, although that my sins are forgiven, I cannot forgive my own sins. That, and that's also, you find that back in the way that Apostle Paul was speaking later to Timothy, that he was saying, Timothy, look to me what I have done. And that must have brought him down, have humbled him all the time. And that is not only with Apostle Paul, but also with Peter, that he had denied him. Forgiven by God, but not be able to forgive themselves, it had humbled themselves their whole life. This, at the moment that you sin against God. That is important to know. From the moment that the Holy Spirit will start to work in someone's soul, he will see that he has sinned against God. And every sin that makes division between God and the soul. Sometimes man says that such a man is missing God. And that's true. From the moment that we fall in sin, we all are missing God. There is a distance between God and the soul. And when the Holy Spirit starts to work, then we cannot miss God anymore. And God will work in an orderly way. He will start to see and to show you the sins that you have done of your past. And you will cry about those sins. It will humble yourself deeply that although that you knew that you still have done this and that. Why? Because you have sinned against a holy God who had given you his word, who had given you his holy commandments. And that is what God always is doing. First he will show you your sins. He will show that you are sick of all those sins. And the Bible is speaking about leprosy. And he will bring you to repent. Not only to turn back, but also to mourn, to grieve, to have sorrow about all what you have done against the Holy God. And when you look to the Apostle Paul, at the moment that the light was shining, he fell down. And what is God then doing? Does he say, now Apostle Paul, I'm waiting to save you? No, so he did not start. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That was the Lord asking him. And that is always so. When the Lord starts to work in someone, he is addressing the sin, what he is doing. And that is what happened here. And then the Apostle Paul started to ask, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus was revealing himself to him. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Can you imagine what here the Apostle Paul must have felt, who had so long a time that he had fought against Christ, fought against his children, who has tried to kill them so many, that he even went to Damascus to go on in that. And here Christ is addressing him on that sin, and he made him to to a sinner who came to repentance at this moment. He started to ask what he should do. This strong Paul, he was broken down in one moment because of Christ who was addressing him, who was stopping him, who was arresting him. I can ask you, are you also already arrested by him? Came there a moment that he brought you to a standstill, that you could not go on anymore, that you was addressed upon the sins that you are doing, that you was crying for mercy? O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here Apostle Paul, he was asking, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? At that moment, he had not any more that he could, let's say, direct his life himself, that he got grace to give it out of his hand. What wilt thou have me to do? He was longing for his way, for his path. And so the Lord was preparing him for that what was waiting. And you know how he came in Damascus, how the Lord Jesus said, he is praying, how Ananias came, who laid hands upon him, that the scales fell from his eyes, how the Holy Spirit came upon him, how he was prepared for that work that was waiting, that he could preach Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. That was his work, and so he has gone through all the countries to preach the only way of salvation. He said it in Acts 20, repentance unto God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This, when you look to the Apostle Paul, first he was fighting against. Sometimes they say, first he was Christians catching to kill them, but then he was catching Christ to bring them to that eternal life by Christ alone, to bring them to Christ. That is what he has done, and wherefore he was called. Repentance is not only a return from sin and from a sinful world, but it includes a return to the Lord. That is what we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. By the Lord himself, by his Holy Spirit. Because he started to work in him and to do whatever that was necessary to be an example, to be a servant in his hand. It can be that you try to improve your life, that you are under the preaching and that you feel that it is not right in your life, and that you try to do things to improve your life with the purpose to escape from hell, and to become a good man, and to think that it is possible to earn salvation. But don't forget, that way of return is not from God, and it will not bring you to salvation. But with that improvement, you will go to hell when there is no change. You need to come to repentance, to true repentance, what God is working in you by the Holy Spirit, that it is working that you return from evil and from sinful ways, but also that there is that sorrow about your sins. And true sorrow is not what you and I are able to make. That is God working, because that the Holy Spirit is working that in you. This with you cannot earn salvation by improvement. You need to be saved by the Lord himself. Here the prophet says, let him return unto the Lord. Who is the Lord? With capital letters. It is his covenant's name. It is the I am that I am. Yahweh. In the Old Testament, then we read so many times that name of the Lord. So many times. And it is always showing to us that the Holy God in Christ was taking care of his people Israel, was acting, for example, so he has called Moses. And then in Exodus 3, verse 14 and 15, there God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, this shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, this shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So God was revealing himself to the people of Israel. Thus, the God of the covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he had sent Moses to be a deliverer from Israel out of Egypt. And when you look, for example, to the baptism, then again is that covenant coming back. Yeah? That he has remembered, and we sing that always, that he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. It means that is always 1,000 generations, that always the Lord will remember that covenant to those who live out of him with their children. God is holy. How can we approach him? We cannot approach him directly. It is only possible in and through Jesus Christ, also today. And then our sins need to be forgiven because of what Christ has done, because otherwise we cannot approach him. And then third, we will speak about mercy and pardon. The prophet Isaiah says, let him return unto the Lord. And the sentence proceeds with explanation and a promise. Because after that, let him return unto the Lord, then we hear that, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This God in Christ will have mercy upon the sinner, who may come to the end of all his works. He will see that he has lost all his rights, that he has sinned everything away. And it's not only that, but when the Lord will work in such a soul, he will also embrace whatever that the Lord will do according to his law, according to his commandments. He will see that he cannot improve himself, that he cannot plaster his life, his all what he is doing. But the Lord will work in such a way that all his expectation will be only from the Lord and his grace. Because who is it who is convicting a sinner of his sins? Is it not the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit will show him the way of salvation. Let him return unto the Lord. We read it here in the book of Isaiah. God in Christ, God who is holy, has given his Son, that in and through him that there is communion with God the Father. And what does that mean? That God is giving mercy. And we can speak about a few things. First, about the forgiving of sins. When a soul so may come, led by the Holy Spirit, drawn by his grace, he receives forgiving of sins. All his sins forgiven because of what Christ has done. so God can have mercy upon that soul. And with that forgiving of sins, he will receive eternal life. There are moments when God is working in a soul, and we say sometimes that the time is stopping, that the eternity is a moment in them. There's not only that, but also that new life starts, what will last till all eternity. Then they don't die when they die according to their body, but that eternal life that will go into heaven to be with Christ. What is that mercy more? It is speaking about Jesus Christ, that he will be their priest. It is pointing to that what Jesus did, that he gave his life, that he has given that sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. Hear Jesus Christ as priest, that you may know he is my priest, my Savior. And together with that is also that Jesus Christ is the King. That from the moment on that you are saved, that you may know that you lay for his account, for time and eternity. That he is the King of Kings also for you, that he will protect you, that he will lead you and guide you. There are so many circumstances that when you may see it in this way, that you may see Jesus Christ as the King has protected me against the wiles of Satan or against the attacks of others. And then lastly, Jesus Christ is their prophet. That is who will teach them what the word is speaking. He will teach them the word to them, and not only teaching, but there is also the Holy Spirit who will give them light that they may see it and that they may own it. It is also for me. Because when you come in church, what you hear, when you hear the way of salvation, what is so necessary that you may come to that point, that you may say, yes, it is also for me, by that faith in Christ, that you may know he came for me, not only for another one. And that is not something what you can reason with your head, because that is not enough. That is too short. But that the Lord is speaking by his Holy Spirit to your soul, I am thy salvation alone. This repentance does deal about your sins that you know, but also about the sins that you have forgotten. All your sins will be forgiven, not one will be skipped, because otherwise you would have to suffer. And maybe you say, is it possible that I will receive mercy? Maybe is that a question for you? Would it be possible that I receive mercy? It can be that there are who say, Pastor, you don't know, but I have sinned too much. I have forfeited all the blessings that thou art speaking about. But then I may remember you. What did the Lord Jesus, who was the first one that he saved when he paid for the sins of all the believers? Was it not that murderer on the cross? Was it not also for the Apostle Paul, who himself said it later on, I am the chiefest of all the sinners? Are it not examples to encourage you, don't think that you have sinned too much? Because Jesus Christ, he said it, I have come to seek and to save lost sinners. That is not only for that time, but also today. Can then all sins be forgiven? No, there is one sin that cannot be forgiven. That is the sin against the Holy Spirit. But I can say one thing about it. When you are concerned, really concerned, about if you have sinned against the Holy Spirit, that you did not do that, that you did not sin against the Holy Spirit. Because when you have sinned against the Holy Spirit, that goes always together with hardening of your soul, that you don't bother anymore. That is what we have seen also in the scripture. When you look upon yourself, it can be that you must complain, I am too self-centered. But no, whatever that you complain about yourself, about your sinful life, about your sins, the Lord is stronger than you. He came to do everything what you are not able to do when He is working that salvation. He will abundantly pardon when you may come in the right way, drowned by the Holy Spirit, because it is His work. Is He able to be merciful? Oh yes, He is able. Because you find it in verse 8 here, where He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. We always try to bring it in a structure, to bring it in a system. But we cannot bring God's works in a system. God is working in His way, according to His word. That's true. But must we not confess so many times that we are blind, that we don't understand, and that every time when the Lord is giving you light, that you must say, ah, this is what I never understood. But I don't say that the Lord is working against His word. All things what the Lord is doing is according to His own word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Here you have a guarantee that wherever the word of God will be preached, that it will not come back void. We have preached so many times in Malawi the word of God, and many times this text has comforted me, because we don't know what the word was doing, but that the Lord will bless His own word wherever He will do it, and wherever it is pleasing Him, but that that work of salvation will go on over the round of the earth, over the whole of the earth. And you find also the promises in the last two verses, where the Lord says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Or instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Many promises that God gave, that He will work His own work, that they will come drowned by Himself, that they will come and to show that mercy, that the invitation was going out then and today with only one purpose, that lost souls might be saved, leaving of your sinful ways and thoughts a question. Wherefore do you live? Must you confess, I am here, but my heart is somewhere else. It is not here. I have no interest in the deepest sense of my life. Oh, pray that the Lord may open your ears and your heart, that you may hear, incline your heart, that you may bow your knees and ask Him to address you also today. We see it every time. Now we have heard it of Mr. Van den Brinke. How old is he? I have heard 53 or 54. He's young, isn't it? Cannot be it so that it also you or we can be, that we suddenly are called to come before that judgment throne? And then, wherewith will be our heart filled then? When we would be drowned for that judgment throne today, what is then in our heart? Wherewith is it filled? Has it our desire to be with Christ? Are we depraved for this world? Can we say, no, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. We are like a stranger, because our heart is not here, it is with the Lord by grace. How is it? How is it living in your heart? And don't forget, the Lord is also giving today His word with only one purpose, that you might come to that faith. So many times in the word it is going out. Repent, repent. Calling to repentance. But maybe I cannot. But did that already become your need? That you feel indeed that you cannot? Did you come to Him, O Lord? My hands are too short, my legs too short. I'm so full of everything that is against thee. When you read, we have sung it, Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Is it not for all of us who must say that? When the Lord would look to our iniquities, can we stand? But then it goes on. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. This, he did not have it yet, but he saw it. There is forgiveness. And that is what we also today may preach to you. There is forgiveness outside of you in Christ. And did he it have there? No, because we read it there that he said, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. This my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. But then it is changing, because then we can see and conclude that he received it, that the Lord became his Savior, because he said to others, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Do you hear it? With him is plenteous redemption. Let nobody be discouraged, and nobody think, it is only one here, only one there. Because so the word is not speaking. There is plenteous redemption. But how is it then? Must we confess that it is not the Lord? The Lord is giving the invitation. He has done everything that was necessary. Must we not confess? No, it is my problem, because I refuse, I reject. Oh no then. Today, you live in the time of grace, that you may come to Him. O Lord, open my ears, that I may hear. Open my eyes, that I may see. Make my legs walking, that I am not lame anymore, that I may walk that path of faith, that I may turn back from all what is evil and sin, and filled with sorrow, and have no rest before I may know I am in Christ by grace. That work is also today going on. Hear what Isaiah 55 verse 2 says. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Here again, the Lord is coming so close to you. Don't eat, don't spend your money for all those things, that is nothing that is leading you to eternal damnation, but that you may bow your knees, that you may come to him, O Lord, that I might hear, that I might be saved. That the prayer of the Tolonar, that it may be yours, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 389, verse 1 and 6. 389:1-6. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness. And further, 1:6. O Lord, for thy name's sake, revive my fainting heart, my soul. From trouble take, for just and true thou art. Remove my enemy, my cruel foe, reward in mercy. Rescue me, who am thy servant, Lord. 389:1-6. Let us pray. Lord, we come to thee to beg thee for thy blessing upon the preaching. Forgive our sins. Will thou bless that was from thee, that it may work that salvation what thou art working, and those who may have it, O Lord, will thou strengthen it, that faith what thou hast worked, that they might be more fruitful in that wherefore thou hast called them. We thank thee for all what thou hast given, and pray thee, remember us also this thy day, deliver us also towards this afternoon, that thou art calling us to hear thy word again and to preach it. O Lord, remember all thy servants, wherever they are, who are called to preach thy word, that also today there may be joy in heaven because of souls who are converted. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Then, lastly, we will sing Psalter 3:11, the stanzas 1 to 5, all the stanzas of 3:11. What shall I render to the Lord? And then 2, salvation's cup of blessing now. 3, his saints the Lord delights to save. 4, with thankful heart I offer now. And 5, within his house, the house of prayer. Is 3:11, 1 to 5. congregation, go in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.